Hello, everybody, and welcome to the CX Day 2019 Fresh Thinking Panel on VOC Customer Insight and Understanding, Challenges and Opportunities, the Current State of VOC and Where It Is Going. We are so excited that you are spending your CX Day with the Customer Experience Professionals Association. My name is Derek Iverson, and I am a membership community manager with the CXPA, and I'll be moderating today's panel. You can find me at derek@cxpa.org if you have any questions on what it's like to be a CXPA member. I'm your guy. And if you have any questions, too, for you CCXPs that are watching on how to submit CEUs for viewing today's webinar, you are able to submit 0.5 CEUs just for viewing today's panel discussion. So let's go ahead and meet our panelists then. I'd like to start off first with Jaap Wilms, CCXP. He consults, challenges, and supports international companies in bringing their customer experience and NPS programs to the next level. With 20 years of international experience in CX, his previous role was head of global NPS and financial services, where Jaap designed and led a renowned best-in-class NPS program in countries across Europe and Asia. With his company, Wilms & Co., he is a consultant for CX program managers that seek to make their programs a success in complex organizations. Musa Hanhan, CCXP, is a driven experience designer and product strategist with a career spanning more than 20 years in the B2B technology industry. He works tirelessly to obtain the right customer experience buy-in from executive management to engineer experiences that instill customer trust and loyalty. He's built the Genesis Voice of the Customer program by maturing the Net Promoter Score into a deeper customer feedback framework and system. Nancy Port, CCXP, Vice President of Global Customer Experience for Verint and Board of Directors a member for the CXPA, is responsible for perpetuating superior customer experience levels by building a company culture and implementing internal and external programs. For nearly 3 years, she has written a regular column as a CX thought leader for Customer Think titled A CX Practitioner's Playbook. The column allows her to share her team's work at Verint and her insights with the CX industry. In addition, Port received CXPA's Impact Award in 2013 and 2017, which is awarded to professionals who represent customer experience excellence. And finally, with more than 20 years consulting Fortune 500 companies, as well as small and mid-sized businesses on how to transform their organizations around a customer-focused strategy, Valerie Myers, MBA, CCXP, is passionate about bringing new ideas and innovative approaches that drive action and business results. She founded Enact in 2018 with a distinct aim to offer the needed research and consulting expertise of a larger firm with the speed and agility of a smaller firm. Valerie has also led client engagements and partnered with clients on all aspects of the VOC program at leading firms such as Walker Information and Ipsos Loyalty. So I am so excited to be working with all of our panelists today. I couldn't have asked for a better panel, honestly, given all of your wealth of CX experience, specifically in the VOC realm. So first off, I would actually like to point our first question to Nancy. So Nancy, how have Voice of the Customer programs evolved over the years, and where are we today?
That's a big, big question. And I think, you know, from my perspective, where we've evolved is in a couple different directions. Certainly, we've gone from looking at one source for customer feedback surveys to multiple sources. And I know we're going to talk more about this a little bit later in the webinar, but this has been one of the most exciting things for me, because we all know that one channel gives us just a segment of our customer feedback. So to expand beyond surveys over the past years has been really exciting. I think the other really exciting thing that I've seen around the change and the evolution for VOC customer programs is that we've gone from a small team of people being sort of fascinated with our own CX data and trying to get the organization interested in it to going to a point where the organization is now making their strategic decisions from a lot of the voice of the customer insights. So it's really, I think, exciting. In just a small amount of time, we've gone from, well, that's interesting, thank you so much for sharing, to, hey, where's the data? We really need that for decisions.
Awesome. Love it. Valerie, how about you? How do you think what VOC has evolved over the years, and where are we today now in 2019?
I completely echo what Nancy said, and I'd add that I've seen kind of the intensity of effort around collecting data move towards transforming the customer experience. So there used to be so much heavy lifting and just capturing the voice of the customer from way back in the day with comment cards and mailed surveys and phone surveys, to now we can collect data so quickly, near real time, and get it in the hands of the people who need it to drive decisions and to take action. So really there's been a lot more intensity of effort putting around what to do with the voice of the customer feedback versus just simply collecting and measuring. We're getting really much more into the managing the customer experience as a result of having good VOC data.
Awesome. Thank you. Musa, I'd actually like to turn it over to you then as well. How have we evolved and where are we today from what you've seen?
Building on the discussion, I mean, I remember, a couple of decades where you have the boxes, you can have a manual, to now digital everywhere. You can, there are sensors embedded into the webs, the products, where you can get feedback in almost real time. So you can see in the evolution. The current state, what I see is kind of like a segmented to, I would say two, where a lot of people are, they do still gathering, analyzing the data. They love the data, they get into the data. And it more looking at it, it's like, okay, this is another program, where the other group, they are taking this data and embed it into the culture, embedded, as Nancy's saying, into this transformation strategies that the corporation and organization are using it as a decision-making point. So those are things that what I'm seeing is that really evolving, and I see more of that. What I see, the third trend, and I think we're going to talk a little bit more around all of this data, we should not wait for the customer to tell us the feedback. So the next generation of voice of the customer is going to be the predictive way of getting feedback even before the customer or the consumers are telling us what's going on, or in a positive or in a negative way.
Awesome. Fascinating. Yaf, I would also finally like to turn it over to you as our only panelist today who does not currently live in the U.S., how have you seen these programs evolve, and where are we today?
Well, I can only build, of course, on what's been said already. I agree. The data that we amass nowadays is absolutely fantastic, and we won that really hard-fought battle to get people to understand the data and to use more data. And with the approach and the rise of AI and machine learning, we get more and more data. However, what I do see a lot is that it now turns to storytelling. It comes now to the point that we don't have to prove we are right, but we have to convince people to rally behind us. And it's what I see a lot is that CX professionals are more and more turning towards the question, okay, now we've got the data, but how do we make an impact? How do we create momentum? How can we turn this data into a story so that people start to act and they want to get more into it? And it's very exciting. And I think it's an absolutely essential skill for any CX pro to have, how to tell a story, how to create momentum.
Awesome. I love that. I'd like to actually keep us focused on you for right now for our next question moving on. What are some of the most mature companies doing to drive action plans as a result of customer feedback?
Well, I see two things. One is building upon what I just said. Too often in the past years, I've seen companies, especially large companies, with departments acting on feedback and claiming it as their own success. And I'm actually missing, and I'm really, really happy that I see this gelling together, that all of those separate results are turning into one holistic story, that you really see this is a joint effort. It's not one department's win, but it's a joint effort to get the whole CX thinking into the results of the entire company. So again, it's how do you make it gel into one larger CX story?
Yeah, absolutely. Valerie, I'd like to turn it over to you then next too. What are some of the most mature companies doing to drive action from these results?
Well, the sad news is that most companies aren't doing very well at driving action today. I was just looking at the last Forrester report, and you have CX professionals, and I know that's another player in the space, but they reported that only 6% say they're very effective at driving action. So I think we've got a lot of room to grow. I think a lot of companies get stuck in the kind of find and fix cycle of responding to every dissatisfied customer and just trying to one by one rectify those relationships and right the ship. And I think the ones that are best in class are those that are able to surface the bigger systemic opportunities and challenges that they're facing and really have the right governance in place to be able to prioritize those opportunities and to take broader action, addressing root cause issues, redesigning, reimagining customer experiences, and really doing it at a more strategic level. Those most mature companies have those proven ROI models, so they don't have to, it's easier for them to get the resources and the staff that they need to make those real changes because their leadership understands and can see the value in investing in customer experience.
Awesome. Thanks. Nancy, how about you? What have you seen with some of the most mature companies driving action from these results?
Yeah, I'd like to underline what Valerie just said. I really see that some companies really are stuck in the find and fix. But we're seeing this breakaway of CX programs that are making a much bigger difference and much bigger impact on their businesses by being more strategic. And what I've seen is these are the programs that are recognizing they have limited resources. And so they've gone to more of a portfolio management structure where they're not boiling the ocean. You know, I think in the early years, we tried to boil the ocean. We tried to lead every single CX initiative in the company. And now what I'm seeing is a lot of these much more strategic and successful programs are helping align some of the projects that are departmental, but taking on as a CX group more of the systemic issues or the organizational wide projects as their projects. It's still really important to keep all the other projects aligned to the main drivers and to customer expectations. But with the portfolio management structure, you're able to align and do at the same time. So I'm seeing this new structure come into place for some of the CX programs that are making them much more effective, I think, in making that business impact.
Awesome. Thank you, Nancy. Musa, finally you. Do you have anything to add then, too, about what you've
Sure.
seen some mature companies do?
I pretty much we covered here, but I would like to add a couple things because definitely it's one thing that I'm noticing. The CEO and the leadership of organization are part of it. It's and second thing we've seen is not just the voice of the customer; it's the whole notion about centricity, customer centricity, is embedded into the company culture. And what you are seeing here is driving this empowerment and alignment. And the successful one, they are showing the ROI. They are tying an outcome to what's the initiative. So we are seeing, I mean, there are a few, by the way. There's not a lot of companies. But we are seeing this trend that take it, the 10 years ago was more on the tactical, some kind of data, feedback and customer feedback to more strategic, to advance, taking this data from different dimensions, from different departments and coherently putting it together. And I think that's where it's driving. And I see this one is going to be more and more of that because that's the business. It's a customer demanding, expecting from, if I give you feedback, they are expecting, again, the feedback, good or bad, they're expecting as a company to drive the action.
All right, so this next question is mostly for listeners that are considering launching their own their first VOC program, or even those that might be considering changing their own VOC provider. What is the most critical factor that you look in regards to platform capabilities? So I'd like to start off with Valerie on this one first.
Well, I always recommend to clients that first they look at what they're already doing. You may not think that you have a VOC program, but chances are somewhere in the organization, someone is collecting feedback from your customers. So I always recommend you start kind of doing an audit, finding out what customer listing posts exist, why are they being used, how are they being used to drive decisions, and then what's the future state? What would you like to be able to do with your VOC platform? You know, as the more features of the technology has become commoditized, there's so many different options out there, it can be a little bit overwhelming. I've even had some clients looking for a consultant to help them navigate that, to help them navigate that decision of selecting a platform. But really, I think you've got to come down to what it is you're looking for the platform to do. Is it mainly a data collection platform and you have other tools for analysis, reporting, disseminating results? Does it need to connect to your CRM? Do you have staff in-house that can run it? Would a DIY option work better for you, or do you really need a full service solution? So I don't know that there's one or two questions I would ask. It's really almost doing kind of an assessment of the state of your current VOC efforts, which I'm sure there are some, even if you think you're just getting started, and where you would like to see that future state of your VOC efforts. There's no one platform that's a silver bullet for every situation. There's some that are better for certain industry sectors, like retail and hospitality, and others that are better at B2B or call center environments. I mean, there's really a lot of choice, which is good news. You can really find one that matches well to your specific needs.
You know, I really love this question a lot, and thank you so much, Valerie, too. This is a really common question that we get on CXPA's discussion forum, for sure. And I sometimes wonder how often, people that are just looking to launch this program are kind of looking for what that new shiny toy is, as opposed to really taking a look at what gaps it is that they want to fill. So thank you so much for that, Valerie. Yap, I'd like to turn it over to you next on this.
No, thanks. Well, of course, how can I not? I agree with Valerie. Usually I say two things. One is it should not be a race to the bottom. By that I mean, for me at least, it's not about connecting as many data points together as you possibly can. That is the race to the bottom. For me, the goal to collect the data is to create that impact. You want to get your organization moving. You want to have got your priorities, your initiatives. You want to make a change. So for me, choosing a platform is very much about how well are they to engage different audiences. And of course, like Valerie said, if you are really looking for a data analysis tool, then fine, go ahead. But if you're looking also to get the call center or product management or whoever you want to involve to the board, then you should look for a platform that does something to the data, that presents it in such a way that it's compelling, engaging. Otherwise, you'll just have a heap of data that, apart from business intelligence, no one can do anything with. So the second thing is take care that you are looking for a cultural fit. And for that, it's really easy to look at the DNA of the software or the platform provider. If it's in their DNA, if they started their business building, connecting data points, that's fine, but that's a completely different take than when a company has started offering consultancy. And somewhere along the road, they happen to buy a platform because it helps their cause. Both are fine, but if you want thought leadership, you want consultants, choose the latter. If you are really into data, you want to do it yourself, you want to choose the first one.
Great, thank you, Yap. Musa, I'd like to turn it over to you then too. Yeah, what do you look for when you're looking at a VOC provider?
Well, so I'm gonna switch a little bit because I put the platform on the side and I'm building what Yad and Valerie are talking about. It's really about understanding what you're looking for. Data, customer data is available everywhere in the company. Maybe you cannot see it, but it's there. Your frontline employee are very familiar. You can get that data from. You get that data from the other tools that are available today. I think maybe nobody using it, but it still is there. So I think the first step to look at if you have a program or you don't and you want to try to take it, a couple things is really collect this. If you want to call it assessment, that's cool. Then we want to do that. But getting that understanding while you are building the vision, what do you look at? I mean, kind of how is this going to fit with the corporate vision and brand? Because this is very important. You want to tie what do you do? Because alignment is number one. And that's where I think important also to have a sponsorship, just taking leadership where they support that and the initiative and build that not just as a one-time thing, but it's an ongoing thing. And that's what I call embedded. There are a lot of tools available. I mean, you can go over, they are more specific to verticals or they are more specific to one type of channel. But those are important. You can select those by understanding what you're looking for and then have a roadmap around that. So those are things that I kind of like first we do that before I even start collecting, kind of feedback on which platform is good. Because again, end of the day, a platform is good as you how you are using it and what you get out of from it. And you want to be able to define that before you, because a lot of time we can just jump because this is a new tool or a new technology. And a year or two, somebody asks you, where's the ROI? Not much you can show. So it's important that you look at it from more strategic. And I think bringing the vision, that's going to help you drive influence inside the organization, but also you define what are the priorities and align that to the corporate strategy.
Great. Nancy, do you have anything to add to this? These are all really great points.
Yeah, these are all great points. And I would just summarize it, I think, by saying, I would start at the end and work backwards on this. The assessment that Valerie recommended, absolutely essential. What's already going on in the organization. But then I'd hop to the end and I'd say, what do my executives want? What would they consider success on this platform? Most executives would like a single dashboard that shows them in real time everything that's going on from all channels on customers. And that's right now, with my knowledge of platforms, maybe that's a little higher, but we're getting closer to that. So I would start out by getting that platform. What's that platform that's going to meet the expectations of the organization and help me drive the story and the insights into the organization? And then work back from there. Because you really do, I think, most often want that platform that can look at multiple channels and bring in data from a number of customer feedback sources and then analyze that and give that single story to the exec. So I think everything that everyone said, I would heartily agree with and just kind of tie it up in a bow that way.
Great. Thank you. All righty. Musa, this next question is for you. I want you to imagine a world. It is 2029, CX Day of 2029, 10 years in the future. Are we still sending out customer surveys? And what are the insight gathering of the future in general looking like now?
10 years is far. I think it's, give it 5 years. I think the survey fatigue, it diminished. I think we should not. This is just, it's in the tail. I see it. I don't see it going to stay more than a couple of years. What I see, it's really around the whole, again, I'm not going to be emphasizing on technology, but it's really about where you want to do, right? Customer demand, customer expectations, and the market has changed. What does that mean? They are not expecting you to say, hey, how's my experience? And you send a survey and you get feedback. They are not. They're going to be tired. It's like, what do you mean? You should know that. So one of the things that where if you haven't done it or haven't thought about it, putting the strategy, what's the next gen? It's really around building these sensors I call them voice of the customer sensors. They are in the product, in the services, in the web, all the channels that they are able enable you as well to collect the data and customer feedback. And then build that, what I call it, analytic intelligent engine, where putting this data, they have, you know, through AI, machine learning, we have a lot of names and a lot of technology. End of the day, it's really taking that data and start building this predictive modeling, allowing you this predictive intelligence that give you that sense of, to say, this experience, and you market by, you know, figure it out. Is it a good experience? Is it a mediocre experience? And then within that collection also gets you understanding what are the broken touch points that is happening, and what are things they can offer in the future, and understanding, because customer behavior is changing. So I think the surveys, yes, is good to get that moment or that understanding of the relationship, but I think more and more now you want to have that real-time loop back where understanding that, and also by doing that, predicting the customer, and then proactively reaching out to them to see what's going on, or you can talk to them more in details, but they are more individual level. But in the mass, I think you need to build that predictive intelligence where allow you to be building these sensors around the, you know, inside the organization, but also outside the organization.
Interesting. Yap, what about you? Does your vision of the future match Musa's?
No. I'm so happy to be able to say this. Musa, no. No, I partly agree. It just came up as well. The whole, the rise, the machine learning, we are getting so good, finally, at looking at data, getting emotional drivers in there, predicting behavior. It's fantastic, but it will never ever rule out us sending surveys. So I'm a big fan of surveys, but not the way they are now, because now it's just ludicrous. We're sending out masses and masses and masses of emails, and they're all the same thing. Let me put it differently. Did you know the questionnaire, as we know it now, was invented in 1838? And I looked it up because I also happen to be an historian. So I was absolutely intrigued. 1838. And I can tell you, when I show this to audiences, they're really excited. Yes, show me. And then I show it, and then the room goes silent, because as it turns out, a lot of the companies still send out surveys that are exactly the same as that first one, a big white page with a whole lot of questions. And that is not what a survey should be. So with the rise of new intelligence and new connecting of data points, we can finally focus on sending out surveys that are very highly personalized, very small, only 5% of what we're sending out today. And using surveys to emulate a real conversation. So instead of it being a quantitative channel, it becomes almost more of a qualitative channel in which you're trying with the latest techniques to really engage in an organization, even so that you're not even trying to get as much data and scores and answers to questions as possible, but more as a relation, more as a semi-automated, personalized, highly personalized way to engage with customers. And if I see what's been sent out today, it's just, it hurts my eyes and it hurts my feelings. And there's so much more that can be done. And in 10 years' time, it will be 191 years since the inception of the original questionnaire. So maybe it takes us less than 200 years to finally get it right.
Nice. I'm really loving these two different visions here. So I'd love to get Nancy's perspective on this next.
This is a great question. I think that surveys are going to be around, but we're going to use them as Yap says, we're going to use them much, much differently. You know, we all know, like, if we're doing household fix-it items and we only have a hammer, there's a whole lot of things we're not going to be able to fix around the house with just one tool. The advent of the digital transformation that's going on in most of our organizations, and if you're not, like, super close and dealing every day, working really closely with your digital team, you're missing out right now, I think, from a CX standpoint. So, but with this digital transformation, we're going to find that we have so many more opportunities for new tools to get the customer feedback, that we will not have to rely on the survey as our only tool. I'm very excited, too, about the AI opportunities and that we're going to have in the future, because for as long as I've been in CX, which is a while, we've been looking at how do we get that emotional aspect. We know the emotional piece of customer feedback is extremely important to their behavior, but for a number of different reasons, we've been unable to really capture it, I think, in a scientific, reliable way. And so AI helps us with that piece as well as a lot of others. So yeah, I do think surveys are going to be around. I think we're going to get much more skilled at knowing when, how, and where to use them. And like, yep, I'm just hoping I don't have 25 of them in my inbox every single morning, because I do think there's rampant abuse of surveys right now. But again, if we can just fine tune our toolbox, I think that that's going to get us to the point where we can use surveys much more strategically in the future. And we should all get together in 10 years. The five of us, I think, should commit because that way you have to check whether your predictions were correct or not in the whole 30-piece fire.
I will mark it on my calendar for sure. Send up the same invite.
Okay.
So, Valerie, finally with you. So between Musa's sensors, Yop hyper-personalized surveys, and Nancy's more specialized use of AI, what do you see in the future for insights gathering?
Yes, all of the above. You know, I was remembering when I saw this question. I was at one of the first CXPA events here in Indianapolis in 2011, I think it was. And at that time, the question was, by 2020, will voice of the customer surveys and programs be dead? And there were some that were felt very strongly, like Musa, that yes, we can't keep asking these long surveys by email. They're going to be dead. But I think we all know that VOC programs are clearly alive and well. And I think they will continue to exist until we develop the ability to read people's minds. We can't get the full picture just from observing their behavior and what they do with the company. For example, I've got a grandmother who regularly has horrible customer experiences and doesn't say a word about it. She goes to a restaurant, they bring her the wrong food, and she's like, oh no, this is fine, I'll eat it. So that company has no idea, if they only look at her behavioral data, that she's dissatisfied with that experience and might not be back. So I think, like Nancy said, there's definitely a place for behavioral data, for AI, for even like when you think of the bio data that's becoming available that might even betray our own, what we think about our what we're experiencing. There still is a unique role for VOC because there's a lot of people that you otherwise won't really understand what's going on in the experience that you're providing if you don't ask. I mean, we're humans and we communicate in a lot of different ways, but asking questions and responding is a common way that we share how we're feeling and what's really going on. And I think it's really what we're going to see we're doing much better at by 2020 is integrating and leveraging these different tools. You know, rather than trying to do a kitchen remodel with one tool at a time, we'll be using the tools in concert so that we'll be able to have a more holistic view of the customer and really help us to be able to prioritize and understand where we can have the biggest impact on the business. So I think VOC programs will still continue to exist, but there will be a push for them to be more integrated with other tools.
Awesome. Great. Well, that officially brings us to the end of our time today. So first off, a big virtual round of applause to all of our panelists for sharing their thought leadership in the voice of the customer realm. I really appreciate you all being here with the CXPA today. And also, I wish all of you a very happy CX day and that you've taken something away from our panelists today that you can easily implement into your own program to end 2019 strong and to kick off 2020 with a bang. So again, thank you so much, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your CX day.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.